This is KJZZ, your member-supported news and information station. I'm Catherine Fritke, and these are the stories you don't want to miss. For the week of May 22nd, here are some top stories. Earlier this year, Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone pledged to close Tent City Jail. As KJZZ's Jimmy Jenkins reports, the sheriff is making good on his word.
The tents are being disrobed of their green canvas and their metal skeletons are coming down. The sheriff's office says more than 400 inmates housed in Tent City have been moved to other facilities, primarily Estrella and Durango jails. Penzone hasn't made a decision on what to do with the space, but the sheriff said he is considering relocating the MASH unit, which houses abused and neglected animals, to the tent's location. He suggested a private entity could fund the construction of a new climate-controlled facility.
Where we can create a program where detainees are more actively involved and responsible for the care and compassion of the animal population that we care for.
There are still about 300 inmates on work furlough staying overnight in tents on MCSO property. The sheriff's office is still trying to address their housing arrangements. Some detention officers stationed at Tent City continue to guard the work furlough population. The rest have been transferred to other facilities. Jimmy Jenkins, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And now from KJZZ's The Show, we're number five. Phoenix is growing and fast. Here's the show's Mark Brody.
Phoenix is, once again, officially the fifth biggest city in the country by population. New numbers from the U.S. Census Bureau show Phoenix edged ahead of Philadelphia. The city now has more than 1.6 million residents. Phoenix also added more new residents than any large city in the country between July of 2015 and last July, more than 32,000 people. We have a couple of perspectives on these numbers this morning, starting with Christine Mackey. She's Phoenix's Community and Economic Development Director. And Christine, good morning. I'd imagine this is a pretty happy day at City Hall.
Good morning. It is an exciting day at City Hall. So many great pieces of news coming in on Phoenix in the rankings on a global and national basis.
What does it mean for this city to be in the top five as far as population?
You know, I think as an economic developer, we all love bragging rights. That's always a fun thing to do when we're bringing new companies into the market. But I think what's most important here is the quality of growth that's coming in with really smart people relocating to Arizona. But more importantly, it shows that our own citizens are staying. We don't have the brain drain that we used to have with our college graduates.
When you talk to businesses, is there a psychological advantage to being able to say we're in the top five as opposed to we're sixth, which is where Phoenix has been?
You know, I think there is. And so often I think that people still think of Arizona and they think of cactus and sunshine and golf courses and retirement. And, you know, we always try to tell them what they don't know about Phoenix. And moving into the top five really puts us in an elite group with other states that are doing great things in job creation.
Now, Phoenix and Philadelphia have kind of been bumping along against each other for a little while, trading spots between number five and number six. What does Phoenix have to do to maintain this spot and not ultimately go down to number six or perhaps lower?
You know, I think what we really have to do is keep our eye on the ball on job creation, because that is what is drawing people here, is our strong universities and our strong job creation in really knowledge-based economies. So in the past, our economy had been based on hospitality and retail and construction, and now we're finding it's in technology sectors and healthcare and biosciences and advanced manufacturing. So if we keep our eye moving forward on those creation of the good quality jobs, we're going to stay a strong economy.
Is there still a perception, though? You mentioned the Wild West and cactus. Is there still a perception maybe east of here that that is what Phoenix is all about? And it's we're growing because we're just this massive land area and we have people sprawled out all over the place?
You know, I think there really is. I think that there's still, I travel a lot on the East Coast recruiting companies and working with the site selection community. And if you don't know Arizona or you don't know Phoenix, I think that's still the perception that they have, that we are this just kind of this sprawling area that's going to keep annexing people in and growing in those areas. What they don't know is that we've got an incredibly strong urban environment in the central city where people have a great lifestyle. And we educate them on that front and we kind of show them things about Phoenix, and they say they had no idea. But with that, we really do wear our Wild West mentality proudly. It's that innovative economy that created a city in the middle of a desert where nobody should have been able to live.
A number of the cities in the top 10 as far as largest numeric increases are in the West. I would imagine that poses a competition challenge for you. You're not just competing against Midwestern or East Coast cities. You're competing against cities that in many ways are not all that far from here.
That is in job creation. That is our primary competition is going to be Denver and Salt Lake City. Austin, we compete against pretty frequently, and Dallas. And if you stacked us up against the cities that when we see a company looking for a job expansion or new job creation, those are typically the cities that are on the list. And if you look at that top 10, those are the cities, or they're very close proximity to the cities that are the fastest growing. And I think a lot of it, what it is people are moving to areas where they can have different opportunities and different experiences. It's pretty easy to be new in Phoenix, and I think people are finding that very attractive.
When you look at the population growth, are you satisfied that enough of it is because there are more jobs here and more opportunities here, as opposed to people maybe moving here to retire or moving here for other reasons?
Absolutely. So Arizona's GDP is growing at a significantly higher than the U.S. average. And it's in sectors like manufacturing, like technology, in areas that is about strong job creation. And so we're not seeing the growth in our age that we'd seen before. We're a relatively young community where our average age is about 33 years old. And we're seeing that trend downward.
So I know that there is a replica of the Liberty Bell at the state capitol. You guys going to have a big party out there today?
We are a competitive group, that is for sure.
Christine Mackey is Phoenix's Community and Economic Development Director. Now, as you might imagine, things are not as cheery in the city of brotherly love. Phoenix bumped Philly out of the top 5, but residents there are not drowning their sorrows in soft pretzels and tasty cakes. Nope, my next guest is accusing Phoenix of cheating. Mark Dent is a reporter for the news website BillyPenn.com. And Mark, before we get to that accusation, what's the reaction to the census numbers been among Philly leaders and residents?
Well, it's kind of interesting. There's a couple of sort of contradictory feelings. And the first feeling is that Philadelphia has actually been growing for the last 10 years, just at a much slower rate than Phoenix and some of the other top cities in the U.S. But that came after almost 50 years of population decline. And so there's been a lot of talk in the last 2 years of yes, there's a resurgence in Philadelphia, we're growing. But then now it's oh no, we're out of the top 5, which I think is significant. And city leaders haven't really brought it up so much. But, people who live here in Philadelphia, it's kind of a cool thing to say, oh, well, hey, we're the 5th largest city in the United States. And just being out of that number 5 spot does sting a little bit.
Now, you write in your piece that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you basically say that Phoenix is cheating a little bit, that it's not quite a level playing field. In what way exactly are we cheating?
So that's because Phoenix has just been annexing land for a long time. And I understand that it's Phoenix is a different city than Philadelphia. It's a much more new city. Philadelphia has basically been the same size, I believe, the middle of the 19th century.
You've been there for a little while.
Yeah, exactly. We stopped annexing land a long time ago, but Phoenix, they've added land, substantial portions of land over the last 100 years, and even smaller pieces of land in the last few years. And so you have Phoenix now, which is a much bigger city and area. It's about 500 square miles compared to Philadelphia, which is about 135. So we're packing in a lot of people in a small space, whereas Phoenix is just sprawling, and that's why it has so many people.
Now, in Philadelphia, obviously, there's a lot of growing up that happens. You have a lot more high-rises. Yep. Your skyline is, a little more robust than that in Phoenix. So, couldn't you make the argument that, yes, while Phoenix is growing out and adding people, Philadelphia can very easily just continue growing up and adding more people?
Oh, absolutely. For Philadelphia to get back in the top 5, it is about just growing our population. We did once have 2 million people here, or around 2 million people, so we easily have the space for it. We wouldn't even have to grow upward that much, because there's a lot of vacant housing. There is, in the further reaches of the city, there is some sprawl, not like you'd see in Phoenix or Houston or some other cities like that. But yeah, you're right. There is plenty of space still for Philadelphia to get bigger and maybe surpass Phoenix again someday, although I think that's probably unlikely.
Have you heard any comments on your piece about how maybe it's just kind of sour grapes that Philly is moving out of the top five? And, you know, there's sort of been this rivalry between Philadelphia and Phoenix sort of replacing each other population-wise over the past several years.
Yeah, so I did get some reactions from people in Phoenix who basically were saying it was sour grapes. And, you know, in fairness, I did say Phoenix does seem like a never-ending strip mall at times, but I mean that honestly, like an observation. I like Phoenix. I think it's a great city, but it does sprawl a lot, and, you know, there are pieces of the city that tend to look exactly alike a few miles down the road. But, yeah, so there was a lot where people were just saying, like, oh, yeah, you're just jealous of us and things like that. And, yeah, I mean, I think Philadelphians would like to be in the top five, so I am a little jealous of Phoenix, and I think Philadelphia is too. But, you know, Phoenix is a different kind of city than Philadelphia, and they're both good cities.
So when you're responding to some of those comments, do you do it with a cheesesteak in one hand, maybe a water ice in the other, and say, well, yes, Phoenix might be bigger, but, you know, we've got this?
Yeah, we have those, and we have, like, an incredible restaurant scene even on top of all that.
Mark Dent is a reporter with the website BillyPenn.com. Mark, thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thank you, Mark.
You're listening to the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast. From the Fronteras Desk, last week, top U.S. trade officials formally notified Congress the intention to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. What the American government will do is still unclear, but Mexican and Canadian authorities say they're ready. From KJZZ's Mexico City Bureau, Rodrigo Cervantes reports.
Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said the U.S. will either revise NAFTA as a three-way trade agreement or dissolve it to pursue separate deals with Canada and Mexico. But Mexican and Canadian officials met in Mexico City on Tuesday and made their stance clear. NAFTA will be revised, yes, but only if the three nations involved work together. Chrystia Freeland is the Canadian Minister of Foreign Affairs.
This is a trilateral agreement, and therefore for us it is simply a matter of common sense that negotiations on NAFTA would be trilateral.
And speaking of NAFTA partnerships, Mexico is Arizona's top destination for exports. Canada is number two. Rodrigo Cervantes, KJZZ News, Mexico City.
In business news, a partial victory for some Phoenix residents who've been pushing city leaders to pay back money taken from a parks fund. From the KJZZ Business Desk, Christina Estes reports it stems from the council's decision to bail out city-owned golf courses.
The money came from the Phoenix Parks and Preserve Initiative, often called 3PI. In 2008, voters approved setting aside 1 cent of sales tax for every $10 purchase to support parks and preserves. In 2013, the council voted to borrow $15 million from the fund to pay off debt at the city's 8 golf courses. The move angered residents like Jerry Van Gass, who's been trying to get leaders to make good on their promise to pay it back.
Lord knows it's taken us long enough to get to this point. Let's keep working together and get this done.
When the Parks Subcommittee met Wednesday, members came up with a plan. Councilman Sal DeCicio suggested money from future sales of eligible city-owned property first be used to pay back the Parks Fund. The full council must still vote. Christina Estes, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
And finally this week, in the world of science, Arizona's attorney general met with CVS pharmacy representatives to announce a drug to reverse an opiate overdose will be available at all stores across the state without a prescription. KJZZ's Casey Kuhn reports.
State law last year allowed pharmacists to distribute the overdose reversal drug called naloxone, or Narcan, without a prescription. CVS announced it will have two versions of the drug, a nasal spray for $110 and an injectable drug for $40. Officials say almost 500 overdose reversals have been carried out in Arizona this year. Attorney General Mark Brnovich says the opioid epidemic will need to be addressed with more than just the reversal drug, but widespread availability is a start.
Whether you're in Scottsdale or Sierra Vista, whether you're in Tucson or Tonopah, you will have an anecdote available if someone is overdosed.
Naloxone will be available in all 195 CVS stores in the state. Casey Kuhn, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
This has been the Stories You Don't Want to Miss podcast, made possible in part by Vitalist Health Foundation, the IEEE Foundation, the Arizona Community Foundation, ASU Research, Alliance Bank of Arizona, Beach Fleischmann, the Arizona Community Foundation, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Thank you for listening to KJZZ and for your generous support. I'm Catherine Fertke, and this is KJZZ, your news and information source.